Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 36 of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, right on the tail end of episode 35, literally one short little meal break away. Kirk, Taryn, you guys were discussing Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, we were.
just pick up where you left off.
I like the Klingons. That's exactly what I like. I love.
Yes.
I do like the Klingons. They're bald and they don't have the hair and they talk funny. Yeah. Which sounds racist.
See, that's the part that got me. Like, I'm okay with the look of them. I'm okay with the loss of hair.
Right.
I hate the fact, like part of the thing that always got me was that I loved the Klingon language. It was very sharp. It's very just, like, very aggressive. And these Klingons, and I don't know if it's the prosthetics. I'm guessing it's the prosthetics.
Right, right, yeah.
It makes them sound like it's, like, Klingon with cotton in your mouth. It sounds, like, softer, and it changes the language in my mind. So it's, like...
You
messes with me a little bit.
You sure that one particular Klingon just didn't have a speech impediment?
It might have just been him.
Because the Albino spoke really nice.
The Albino was better. So it might have just been...
The black one had a problem talking.
I can't remember his name, anymore.
That's all right. There's only one black one and one white
one. Yes. But yes, the black one sounds like he had a little bit...
So it's softer and more cottony. So these are like two-ply Klingons.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
But yes, as long as they get clear with their language, I will like them. I like the look of them and everything.
I like their
armor and everything. That was
very Victorian.
The whole ceremony with the sarcophagus and everything. Like,
yeah,
everything
was
really
cool.
Ornate. Like, it was beautiful.
That was cool. What do you think, Mark?
I mean, I enjoyed the first episode. I was a little confused by it. As we said during the break, I was saying... There's that one line where they said that the Klingons hadn't been around for 700 years.
Yes.
With prequels in general, I always enjoy a good prequel, but technology seems to always get in the way of these things.
Yeah.
Because if we look at Enterprise, that was supposed to be before Kirk.
Yep. Right?
And I guess this show is supposed to be taking place between Enterprise and Kirk.
Yeah.
The technology seems to get better. And then if we go right into classic Trek, we seem to tripped over our own feet. There's a problem.
They elected their version of Trump.
Right. Or Putin.
And they were
Putin. Yeah.
And they had some money issues.
Because again, I said, as we discussed during the break, that episode on
Enterprise
on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
Trouble with Tribbles.
Yes.
And Worf sees, they go back in time and Worf sees the original, what the Klingons used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And they were human.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
It's next gen.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry.
And then, I'm sorry, original.
No, it was.
The original series.
Wasn't it? No, it was Deep Space Nine.
Okay, my bad.
No.
Right. It was Worf. So that's
because
what I was
because Worf is on.
Right.
And Dax
Worf joint. Yeah.
It was Dax and Sisko.
No, it's cool.
You'll like the episode when you find out.
But the fact
that... In context.
So,
context is king.
But for some reason, like, the Klingons from Enterprise, then we have the Klingons from Discovery.
Yeah.
And then somewhere along the line, they went human again. And then,
With the original Trek. Right.
And then all of a sudden, we got Worf again.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm, you know. Dude,
someone needs to just trace out the trajectory
somebody did, actually. On YouTube, there's a guy who actually traced out and explained.
Including Discovery?
Yeah. And
explained
why they look all different.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were taking a lunch break, I said, you know the simplest way your motherfuckers can really do that shit? Diversity.
There it is.
Racial diversity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of different looking people on planet Earth.
Yep.
You should actually have a lot of different looking Vulcans and Romulans.
Uh-huh.
Which you do.
Yes.
And as a spacefaring, as a spacefaring culture, Klingons still actually have colonies.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course you're going to have diversity within looks of Klingons. You actually should embrace that. And with all the new different ones coming in, you can literally explain it as they're part of a different hemisphere on Quarnos, or they're part of a different colony that spread out, right? And still hold, but still are still part of the Klingon Empire.
Right.
Yes, because right. Part of being an empire is actually the idea of diversification.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True.
Under one rule. That's really what it comes down to. It's like Rome.
Mm-hmm.
You had black Romans, you had Asian Romans, you had Celts, Gauls, all these other motherfuckers. You know, they all wasn't one person.
It was
just
the unity of all the clans.
Exactly. Right. So you have this idea of unity of all the tribes.
The tribe, yeah.
Right? You know, you said some of them probably have long, some of them go to a barbershop. You know what I mean? Check out the NBA game or something. Or the Klingon games, whatever they call it. But, you know, and it's so simple just to really explain it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead of having us trying to figure shit out.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you know what? I'm not going to... Yeah, I understand. That shit becomes annoying. We had, like... We literally have five different Klingon looks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
At this point.
You have the long hair.
Mm-hmm.
You have the... You have the
super ridge receding hairline,
right? Receding hairline. Then you have the one with the rings. They have rings on their ridges now because they, you know, they're hot like that. And then you have the Doc
Rock. I thought he was about to say the New Jack.
The new Jack Klingons.
And the New Jack Klingons. New Jack Klingons. Because they swagger like that, though. They have that swagger, right? And then you have Dothraki.
Come on, nigga.
Those are the ones that go to the barbershop. That always got their cut is nice. They got to keep that shit slick, yo. They can't
very
just
clean.
Keep it popping. And they got collars to pop, too. You notice that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got bling and everything. Nigga got a ruby tooth for a collar. That's some bullshit, yo. Who the fuck Dapper Dan be cutting their clothes, man? Some Gucci shit.
Jake the Jeweler.
I'm just saying. Jake the Jeweler.
Jake the Jeweler on the phone real quick.
He's like, 327. He's on planet 327,
mm-hmm.
which is only one light year away from Kronos.
Nice.
I want to see him pimp out a bird of war. I want to see that shit.
What, with like hydraulics?
Yeah, that bird of war. No, when their wings actually from the down, when they go down, their wings are always down, and you see them, they fly up because the hydraulics.
You didn't see the last. You didn't see the last Star Trek film? Where they had the bird of prey look like it was actually flying.
It was flying.
Really?
Yeah.
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 That last one,
right.
Star Trek Beyond.
Is that from the Southern Hemisphere, though?
I guess so. The, yeah, you know.
Because they got flavor, though.
Or it could be from the West Side.
West Side?
Always want to be a jihad. California
life. If you want a baffle of a man. Cypress Klingon.
You can't understand. I like to just kill a human.
Oh, man.
But,
I want to see that video. I want to see that video.
Yeah, something you can't
I want to
understand.
Kill him,
you're right. I don't understand.
What'd you say?
That's speech impediment.
That's a speech impediment right there. I don't even know why we brought him in studio.
You should spend your money on a dentist instead of the barber.
You know,
your shit is slick, but you know your teeth is jacked.
You know, a little garlic and honey play that throat thing right up.
Oh my goodness!
Yes, Klingon with gold caps. I'm all for it.
But
yes.
Of course, when
yes,
all the
back to Discovery, yes.
Right. But the thing is, when the original villains,
yes,
that you know, and of course they take their turns as when they're villains and when they're not villains,
mm-hmm.
right?
But when they were first conceptualized by the great Gene Roddenberry, I think they were simple analogies for other races that are on Earth. Even though supposedly on Earth we're all getting along.
Right. Right.
I would love to see that day. Like, well, we managed to put racism on hold on Earth,
right.
but we still hate motherfuckers on other planets.
Yes.
Because y'all look real Asian right now.
Right. You know.
Klingons look real Asian right about now.
Let that go.
And you know, that's actually really just strange, to be honest.
Yeah.
The Romulans actually haven't changed either.
No, they haven't.
Right? Even from... You know,
the Romulans always look like Romulans.
Them motherfuckers are the cheapest to do. They just Vulcans with really big ridges.
Right.
With an eyebrow, with really bad eyebrows. Yeah.
Right. It's like the very
the
slight
peak, right? Like they have really
and the
Widow's
Peak.
Yeah.
Right.
Planet full of Eddie Munsters.
Right. And the and was Remus
emotional
Remus?
Eddie Munsters.
And the
yes.
Remars look like an actual Klingon butthole, like Romulan butthole.
Okay.
The Remars. What is it called? It's Romulus and Remus, right? So they have
Romulus and Remus, yeah.
Romulus and Remus.
Right.
So they have the Remars because they had that in Star Trek. What was it? When they had the young Kirk. Not the young Kirk. The young Picard. Cloned young Picard.
Yeah, it was
Generations.
Oh.
Was it Generations?
It was Generations.
I forgot which movie
it was. The last one. It was the last one from...
It was
Insurrection?
Insurrection, yes.
Oh, yes.
That was it.
Oh, right.
It was terrible.
Yeah. And it was like butthole Romulans.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Skid
but it had bro, they had our favorite actor on Tom Hardy.
Yeah, gave us a very young Tom Hardy.
Gave us very young Tom Hardy.
So that was
oh,
nice.
Okay.
That was nice.
That was yeah. That was,
thank you for that.
That was a moment. I was like,
it's like the one good part of Insurrection.
Like, right. That was that sigh. I don't know what it was.
So Kirk,
but Discovery is a. I'll say this about Discovery. I saw Orville, saw Discovery.
Uh-huh.
My take would be, if you are pining for the old school, next generation, Deep Space Nine Voyager, that's Orville.
Yes.
In terms of storyline, aside from the jokes,
okay,
the way they're telling the stories or the issues that they bring up within it are very reminiscent of those series.
Yes.
All right.
Even down, I think I remember texting you, even down to the fit to how they change scenes.
Yeah.
The fade out,
the filming and everything. It's
right.
very
the intro, the outro, everything is so reminiscent of that if you are jonesing for, if you can't deal with this new shit going on, then do that.
Okay.
Discovery is really, if you want to check something different.
Yeah.
Coming from the Star Trek universe.
Right.
Aside from all the very new look of it, it's going someplace else. You want to see where it goes, right? And I remember bringing it up to you. And this is something that you'll see in episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
That someone on YouTube, I want to say the name, Sketch for Superheroes, they brought it up.
Okay.
I want to say it because I saw it and I was like, holy shit, that's a really interesting point.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think about that. What Star Trek Discovery is actually about, and the guy who did the video, it's about Section 31.
Uh-huh.
The secret government organization within the Federation, which...
Sort of their SS.
Yeah, their SS or their SHIELD or their
right.
Not even MI6. They're supposed to be an autonomous organization altogether.
Shit.
Okay. If I remember, they're actually... They first came about in Deep Space Nine, and I was watching episodes called Inquisition, where Bashir is kidnapped by Section 31.
Yeah, I remember that.
To test him to see if they think he's good for recruitment.
Right.
Mm.
And Bashir says no, because as far as he's concerned, even though they are a part of, they're on the charter.
Right.
The Federation Charter, Section 31. There's Article 4, Section 31.
Mm-hmm.
They are the...
They're the Black Ops.
They're the Black Ops. Thank you.
Yeah.
They're literally the Black Ops for Federation.
That's cool.
A sanctioned Black Ops organization within the Federation.
That's going to be some interesting...
Exactly.
That's going to be some interesting shit that we're going to see in the show, then.
Actually, they're the ones who actually were the ones who poisoned Odo.
Oh, yes.
That's right. Holy shit!
I'm 20 years late. It's my own damn fault.
And go back to he said, and he mentioned it, and I agreed with this guy. Sorry.
No, don't worry about it.
I agreed with him. He mentioned what this opens up, because it's supposed to be a prequel.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about the what we've seen before,
right?
Because this is an autonomous storyline,
right?
Anything that happens in the storyline, they're not even supposed to know about it.
Right, there's no ripple effect.
There's no ripple effects.
Because it's like a X-Files kind of thing.
Right, you
that's
literally
nice.
Start a new entire storyline with these characters, because with the only exception of the Spock and Michael being
okay, then that
related.
Kind of makes sense with the whole tech thing, too, because maybe they're the ones that have, like, all explorational tech and whatnot.
Exactly.
So that's why they look so much more advanced than everybody else, because they're doing the secret shit.
Right, they're doing unsanctioned experiments.
Okay, I can kind of buy that.
And from the third episode, I won't get too much into it,
mm-hmm.
but they're going into biological shit.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
Kind of interesting how both series apparently had banging episode threes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, what was that about? Like, was that sweeps week? Was that, I'm trying to understand.
I feel like the first two episodes of a show is mostly, like, to get it on the networks. It's, like, to show the executives to be like, look, it's family friendly, mm-hmm. it's going to be safe, blah, blah, to get it on the show. But, like, once the third episode comes in, it's probably the first one that's actually for viewers.
For viewers.
So that's the one that's actually, like, this is what our show is about.
So, like, the first two episodes, like, mission statements for the for the
execs. It's like the thesis statement,
Yeah, for the execs. And then, then you actually get into actual character building for the sake of the audience.
Like, usually the pilot is way different from what the show actually ends up being. Exactly. You know what I mean? So.
Shit, the first episode of Next Generation.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Totally different.
Oh, yeah.
Voyager, right?
Totally different.
I almost didn't watch Next Generation after that first episode.
That was...
With Q.
With Q.
I was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
But the show dragged me back, so...
Some bullshit.
No, I can see you hulking out, too, in the vest and the tie, like... Bullshit! Mr. Hand, and then what's going on?
You come straight out of a comic book.
Oh shit, I'm sorry. No, I actually want to see you do that. I want to see you busting with a vest and a tie into a Klingon barbershop. He goes, bullshit, Klingons! Y'all niggas need a hair!
Dynamite!
Dynamite! I actually see that now. I'm sorry, okay. But yes, I'm all for Discovery.
Okay.
I'm a big Discovery. Now, Michael, what's the character's name? Michael?
Last name starts with a B, I can't remember.
Yeah, Brahan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Her name is Michael Keaton.
Yes.
And that's a Brian Fuller thing. Brian Fuller, we all know, is the gentleman who gave us Hannibal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And American Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Openly gay. So he has this thing where he likes the idea of gender, what's the word I'm looking for? Gender fluidity.
Androgyny.
Gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and you know what? Fuck, I'm for that shit.
Listen, I met a girl named Jake before, so a girl named Michael is no big thing.
Hello. Look, I got two cousins. I got one cousin literally who's a girl named Joelle, and a dude, and his name is Joelle.
There you go.
And I'm still trying to figure that shit out. I'm looking at
that. Must be very confusing.
And Johnny Cash had a boy named Joe.
Didn't y'all talk? Didn't y'all talk before y'all had your kids?
And just to button it up, I had a second cousin named Marion. It's the ugliest motherfucker I know. Anyway.
Damn.
Samples?
Moving right along. Not that ugly.
Not that ugly. Okay.
Moving right along.
Yes.
So a couple of things we didn't get to get into because we were sort of on a little bit of a hiatus, and we ran into Black Book Expo. We were going to do an episode there, but it was a little too damn noisy. And considering we already subjected people to noise during the Planet of the Apes show, figured we'd at least, you know, bring it down a little bit. Black Book Expo, by the way, was a great time. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Big shout out to everybody. That organized it. Folks from WBLS were there. It was a good time. It was
Frankie
a good
time.
No, not him.
Sorry, I thought it was Frankie Crocker. Sorry.
It was not Frankie Crocker. You know it was not Frankie Crocker.
He had that voice.
Stop it. Now,
I miss Frankie Crocker.
I know you do. So if you knew he was dead, why were you thinking he was a Black Book expert?
I'm in Harlem, ghosts, black people. Frankie Crocker's alive.
So one thing we didn't get to discuss was the movie It.
Ooh.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
It.
Based, of course, on the Stephen King novel about a group of friends who find themselves bullied by both local bullies and
clown.
Basically a clown. That turns out to be this omnipotent evil presence.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Wait, hold on.
You saw the movie.
I saw the movie.
What do you think
and
about
I am
the movie, Steve?
Yeah, you sound very
Steven,
conflicted.
Please
tell us.
I am a little conflicted.
You want a drink?
Overall, I enjoyed it. I have a drink, Kirk. Thank you very much. Overall, I am a little conflicted. Mm. because ultimately I was not as overall frightened as I was hoping I would be. Okay. But for the most part, I felt it was faithful. I didn't feel that it disrespected the source material.
Mm-hmm.
But it certainly had its it had its moments. It had its problems. There were certain things I really enjoyed. I certainly enjoyed the young lady that played Beverly. She was quite gangster.
She was awesome.
And
is that Bobby Brown?
No, oh. That's Stranger Thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, she's not. I thought she was in that. Okay.
No.
No.
The one of the boys from Stranger Things.
That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was. I was happy at the end of the movie, but I certainly had my issues. I'm sure I'm not alone, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I am. I don't know.
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, you didn't see it yet. Okay.
I have not seen it, but I know that gentleman has.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Abbott. And have you seen
it? I have seen it, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, please.
No, I have to say this. When I first read it, there was a voice in my head that I heard of Pennywise.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as people love the miniseries on TV, Tim Curry just did not, for me, did not exude what I thought Pennywise was.
Okay.
The moment Sarsgaard opened his mouth, I was like, that was the voice I heard when
completely
I first
agreed.
Opened that book. And I said, because in my mind, I never thought of Pennywise addressing the children as a clown.
Right.
Like a happy-go-lucky clown.
Mm-hmm.
In my head, I always envisioned that he had, like, this very sinister voice, but was very soothing to children, which would draw them in.
Right.
Sinister but soothing.
Yes, because it's just one of those things where, you know, once they start speaking to him, he just, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, when people say, oh, I loved his voice.
Yeah.
And I could just listen to his voice all day.
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Smog.
I like the, yes.
Okay.
I like the fact that they updated it to the 80s. I didn't have a problem with that.
Yep.
The 80s jokes were absolutely adorable. I thought those were outstanding. But I have to admit, the scene in the library probably scared me the most. Because in the book, because it takes place in the 50s, it's a mummy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one, with the headless child coming down the stairs, dropping the eggs.
Wow.
That was just, it was, for me, for this particular, because I read an article where the creators of the film said, when they sat down 6 years ago to put this film together, the question on the table was, how do you take a 1,000-page tome and turn it into a movie? And they said, you don't. And I thought that was very smart, because you cannot take that book, and it's almost like a Harry Potter book.
Yeah.
You cannot take that book and put everything that was in that book onto the screen.
Okay.
Part of it is because the law won't allow you to.
Really?
Yes.
Not getting into that.
There are certain things you just cannot do.
Yep.
Oh my God.
But I.
I'm a little surprised he got away with that.
You know, it was the '80s,
and it was writing it. It's
when you're writing, when you know, it's
you can get away with book. Literature.
In literature, you can get away with certain,
especially when you're talking about kids that are all the same age. So it wasn't like someone older forcing someone younger. Right? It was like
And for those that are listening that don't know what we're talking about, didn't read the book.
Spoiler alert.
I got to keep the listener in mind here.
Okay, true. Context. Read the book then.
Context. 1,000 pages just for this.
Context is for kings, yes. Go ahead.
look, the point is, there is a point in the teenager version of the confrontation that the kids have with it,
mm-hmm.
where they actually utilize their sexual energy in a way so as to help defeat the creature.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They found a way to change this up in the movie that was actually really smart.
Yes.
And I thought really convincing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That I didn't even actually, mm-hmm. thankfully, miss that part.
Yeah.
I'm a bonehead. So they had like a teenage orgy?
They had an orgy.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
The idea being that they needed to be unified to be able to fight the monster. So the way that they could all be unified was that Beverly was just like, literally like, listen, I will be the tie that binds us. Let's all have sex and we will all be unified by me. And in the movie, instead, she goes, let's have blood brothers. So she's still the one who does it.
Uh-huh.
She's still the
mm-hmm.
one who implements everything, but she says blood brothers instead of let's all have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, your face
if
is
if you guys
everything.
Can see Kirk's face right now.
And truth be told, that is actually why I read the book It. Because a friend of mine told me. No, seriously.
You're so dirty.
In high
you
school.
Dirty.
In high school, a friend of mine told me that in the book It, they all have sex. And I was like, I don't understand. Why would anybody do that? And they couldn't explain it. So I actually read 1,000 pages
uh-huh.
to understand this fact. And I just like the fact that they changed it in the movie. It made it much more,
palatable.
Understandable.
Yeah, there it is. Palatable.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And it just didn't make sense in the book, honestly. So I'm glad they changed it up.
Yeah, but I mean, they did a good job with it. I think
my stars.
They could have.
You need a moment?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, this movie could have gone south.
It really Dark Tower. Up. Dark Tower went way south. So it was like, this needs to be the one that Stephen King was like, I need to knock it out of
Yeah.
So thankfully he did. Uh-huh. I think that this movie was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison.
And the fact that they brought in one of the kids from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Who
played a role I did not expect him to play.
The guy, one of the kids who looked like a girl, but not the girl.
Yeah.
Right.
All
right.
Yes. 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 Although I have to, what's funny is that they said that after he did the film, they had problems with him on the set of Stranger Things because he keeps dropping F bombs.
Ricky curses all the time.
Like, that's all he did was so
cut.
So although I have to say, after the film came out, there were a lot of people that had issue. I had heard that people had issues with the fact that he had a whole lot of, like, sexual jokes.
Yes.
And I said, you know, if you're a teenage boy,
yeah.
That was just a given.
In the 80s?
In the 80s. Some of the things, and I laughed. I laughed my ass off listening to some of the jokes that he said. And particularly, the person who directed the film, this kid had, like, excellent timing. Because they would be talking about one thing, and he would just come out of nowhere with I have to tell this one, because it's one of my favorite.
Spoiler!
It's a spoiler.
Spoiler!
When they're all in the room, and he's like, you know, this Derry used to be a beaver trapping town. And he goes, and it still is, right, guys? And they're like, no. He's trying to get the high five, and they're like, no. And it's like, and it's like one of those things where it just catches you off guard. Because it's like, you don't expect anybody to say something like that.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly how we were when we were young.
True.
Yeah.
Let me ask this.
Still like that.
Do we think that as good as Bill Skarsgård's portrayal of Pennywise is, do you think maybe they gave him away, or maybe he had a little too much screen time or something like that? Because, I mean, I just think back to Jaws where, you know, old school way of doing things. You kind of don't see the shark until you see the shark.
Here's my thing about that.
And then it's special.
Here's
my
thing about that. You actually haven't actually seen Pennywise. Because if you've read the book, you have a better idea of what Pennywise is, even though the book actually doesn't go into exactly what he is. But we saw a lot of the clown, and we saw a snippet of what he actually is at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And that part I thought was really nice because it was like, oh, if you caught it, it was like an enticing thing to be like, oh, in part two, we might actually get to see, like, the full depth of what the book actually talked about. But I didn't mind so much seeing so much of the clown, because the clown is the facade. The clown is the thing that, you know, he wants you to think that he's a clown, that he's this innocent, innocuous thing. But in reality, he's way worse. He's, like, so much worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you don't really get that feeling. And in the original miniseries, they made him a clown. They made him a giant spider that I got so pissed off at this as a kid. They kicked him to death.
Yeah,
they kicked him.
They kicked
a giant spider to death, and it pissed me off because the final battle is supposed to be way more epic than that. And
way more.
I feel like they're actually going to give us that epic, like, surreal battle that we're looking forward to, you know?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And I like the fact that they tease us a little bit with what he actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A little bit.
Yeah.
The deadlights and the whole...
Yes. I wish they gave us a little bit more of the deadlights, because, like, I want to see deadlights with the bully dude.
Yeah. Which I'm curious to see how they're going to bring him back.
Yeah, because, I mean, he fell down a well, and that fell hard.
And I'm like, I don't know, I mean, unless Samara caught him. On the way down, you know, unless she was down there, was like, "Hey, you okay?
Well,
7 days, I'll send you back up."
No,
you sure, Ricky, need him for something?
Hey, you
need him to save Morty.
A pickle Rick.
I do. You know what? I will say this, because sometimes a horror film can surprise you. There is a, during the trailer, there was one particular scene that I thought was disturbing, which was the scene when they're in the garage with the slide projector, and you see him.
I remember that from the TV.
What transpires after that, I was not expecting.
Not prepared for.
For him to appear the way he did.
Yeah.
And that completely caught me off guard, and as a horror fan, that's pleasantly surprising.
Yeah,
because you know, because you kind of was like, oh, okay, we saw this in the did not know that was coming. So
yeah, I pride myself on being somebody who is not really like susceptible to jump scares. That movie had like 5 jump scares that I was like, oh shit,
yeah,
like that actually just caught me because I just was not expecting it. So it was a pretty smart movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it had its little moments, but.
So
it's pretty smart.
So I actually 3. Should I put the money in?
Yes.
Yeah.
I say so.
It's worth a look.
I say so. Right.
And secondly, should I wear the depends when I go?
I don't think it's not that.
I think they're saving it for part 2. Like part 1 is like they give you the little scares, but it's not like overall scary. But I think that part 2, once they're adults, they're gonna bring in the horror.
The big
because
guns.
Now they need to scare adults. It's not just scaring little kids. Please. It's Pennywise going out to scare adults.
And you guys have read the book, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All 3 of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how? And in terms of the book, should I wear depends or am I? Because I'm about to buy the book.
The book will catch you off guard.
Yeah.
They've got some moments in the book that there was one moment when I read it that I literally put the book down for a week. Because I had to walk away from it because it did frighten, like, I couldn't get a particular image out of my head.
We're gonna talk about that.
Wow.
I want to know what part that was.
Okay.
But no spoilers.
Well, I, and from my side of it, I was on the subway as a kid. And I'm reading, and there was one point I completely forgot I was on the subway, and I literally said out loud, "Oh, shit!" And then I realized where I was. And it was like, and of course, the entire subway car is staring at me right now. And I'm just, I literally just held the book up and I'm like, sorry.
It's like, yo, reading it.
I'm
reading it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay.
I
didn't really get that. I didn't. Not a whole lot of.
I'm going to have to read this.
Horror lit fans on the 4 train.
Oh,
but,
shit.
You know.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Okay, so, there you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's an old book, right? It has been out since, 1980?
In the 84? 80s, yeah.
84?
85?
I want to say 84, actually.
84.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go, ladies and gents.
No, it had to be 84 because I was in high school. But
mm-hmm.
No, I think it was 85, before
84. 85? No. It wasn't before 84.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say... Okay.
Oh, damn. Jesus Christ.
Did somebody card this one before?
Don't worry, I did. Anyway. Well, I get hit with some contributing the delinquency of a minor.
Yeah, you're corrupt. You corrupter.
I am.
You're the corrupter. Yeah.
I'm the corrupter. Here in the Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans Emporium.
And picturesque crowd rights.
That's right. And don't you ever forget it.
Picturing the troll market in Hellboy. And Steve has his own stall, the corruptor. There's none of these little knickknacks here and there. It's like, oh, well, I wonder if you can buy here.
You can buy corruption.
You can buy all forms of corruption.
All forms of corruption. All seven forms. Right.
Is that a
nice? Oh yeah. Oh,
there you go.
Oh, Darkwing Duck dog.
Yeah, it's like I do have a Darkwing Duck.
That's right. And I've got these nuts. Anyway. So yes, it certainly worth the money.
Yes.
And like I said, I had my issues, but you know, I still say it was a solid movie. Definitely a solid movie.
Most of your criticism was what? First
character development.
Character development. Okay.
My issues are character development related. I recognize that that's tough when you have a large cast.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But you know, just getting back to how Mike Hanlon's character was—he lost the research assignment that
he was the historian.
He was the historian. The one sole black kid.
Yep. He was
the historian. But in the movie, in this new movie, it gets transferred over to one of the other characters.
Yes.
So I don't know if that means that you know, for those people that are completely invested in and know the story arc, I don't know if that means that Ben is the one that stays and he's the librarian when we come back,
right,
to them as adults, or are they going to stick with Mike?
Well,
who, you know,
I've actually read an article by the producers of it.
Ah.
Mike is going to be the one that's the librarian. He's still going to be the one that stays in Derry.
Okay.
So he still has the role of bringing everyone back together.
Okay.
Awesome. So I guess he takes on the historian role. Like, maybe, I guess Ben brought it up, and then from there, maybe Mike takes it over. So as everybody leaves, Mike becomes the historian.
All right. Okay.
De facto. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Well, here's a question.
It's like the first chapter of the book. Come on.
And the other thing was, I, you know, not that I want to cry whitewash completely or anything like that, but the fact that in the novel and in the original miniseries, which has its own problems, they did stick with the bullies referring to Mike as a nigger.
Yeah, they kept the racial.
And they don't do that in this version, and I don't know. Like, I found that, especially these days, where, you know, racism is as empowered as fucking Duracell batteries at this point.
Right.
Did we leave that out because that wasn't a thing in the 80s? And I would have to disagree with that because, you know.
Right. Even because you had, just because you had different strokes. Don't mean you have motherfuckers calling you niggas.
That's right. That's right.
Gary Coleman's not that good.
You know what? I would almost say that probably was the mindset. Because we moved it out of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be something that
they would say in the 80s.
Well, no. Not that they wouldn't say it.
Right.
But because the structure of the town is different in the 80s as it would have been in the 50s.
That's true.
I think the ideology of going that route probably was like, we really don't need to do that.
Mm. And they kept a little bit of the racial tone in there, in that Mike's hallucination is that he sees the burning of
that club.
Plant?
Yeah.
It's some kind of club, yeah, that he sees the people reaching out. And the whole thing was that it was all black people who worked there. And they were locked in there because of the... There's a whole racial undertones of that story. They don't really get into the story, but if you read the book, you understand that they're referencing the fact that it was a racial injustice that happened to his family and whatnot. And they do make reference to it. So they're still keeping it in there, just not making it as overt as it was in the original miniseries, you know?
Okay.
So,
well, so
I don't know.
So what do we gather from that outside of the fact that the president obviously didn't direct this movie? Is that, yeah, I guess they decided for the sake of it being the 80s.
Right.
And that being a decade where, you know, I guess we were trying to pivot in the right direction at the right time socially.
Right.
It's like, okay, so I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying with that.
I'm interested to see where they take Mike in the future, though, because since the racial thing was such his thing back in the original miniseries,
mm-hmm.
now him as an adult, I wonder if it's going to be like, what has he dealt with in Derry? Since he hasn't, has he had to deal with that racial thing? Has he just been dealing with the Pennywise, you know, issues?
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm interested to see what happens to Mike as a result of it.
Well, that brings me to another question. Casting.
Mm.
Who do we see as Mike, Ben, you know?
Wow.
Man.
I feel like Idris would overpower any like in a ensemble like that.
How about Peter Mensah? No? Your dad, Rocky Johnson.
My dad, last name Johnson. I mean, I know I didn't know my biological father, but I mean, I didn't realize.
Oh, we can
Johnson.
I didn't know that.
You know, that's news to me. Thank you, Kirk. Now I might be able to track him down.
Now I feel like a proper dick. Proper dick.
You know,
not like a floppy one either. Like a real proper.
Ready for a porn movie? Yes.
We get to do something. You're right.
I mean, I'm sorry.
High five. Really?
We could always go to our resident go-to guy.
Who?
Go-to guys. So
Bo-King?
either no, not Bo-King. Bo-King. Not Bo-King.
Bo-King. Spider-Man Bo-King.
You say this creature came back for us? Why call you back? Go back to Derry. This is the thing I'm talking about.
Listen, Bokeem, I am a sensible white person. I am not coming back to Derry.
So
I'm hanging up.
You either call in Michael B. Jordan,
right,
or Chad Boswick.
Oh shit, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
Black Panther or Killmonger?
No. Be Thurgood Marshall, because he's playing Thurgood Marshall next week. So it's like, I don't know. I think the best thing to do is like what they did with the kids: get a group of unknown or first time actors,
relatively unknown, like TV people. Like I can see as grown up Mike, the dude who plays Diggle in Arrow. Like, get that dude to play.
You know
what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. relatively unknown, but, like, I can't really see, like, there were no, like, A-list actors.
So get a bunch of
like,
CW
oh.
people.
I mean, if you're going to get, you know, relatively unknown people, then yes, CW.
CW
people.
Yes.
Okay. So we get my man to play Spartan.
Oh, man.
I guess the girl is from Ugly Betty.
You know, take consideration when you brought up the whitewashing. And if he's gonna do it, I mean, shit, Michael Keaton's a great fucking actor.
Michael Keaton is too damn old
to play Mike.
You know what? Something wrong with you.
To play any of them.
He's like 71.
Oh,
he's too old.
I'm just saying.
These guys are supposed to be in their 30s.
That's the case.
He's a great white actor.
They're supposed to
he
be 30.
He can play anything.
Like
he
35.
He can play.
If that's the case,
he played Batman. He played Batman.
My name is Morgan Freeman.
Exactly.
And there's a creature
that's
in
Mike
my family.
Denzel is Mike Hamlin.
There you go.
Freaking 70 years old.
Holy shit. Now, what you telling me is there's a creature in this town that's living inside? See?
Wait, Ethan Hawke.
Sam Jackson.
Ethan Hawke.
I don't remember y'all telling me a goddamn thing about this creature.
He's got his motherfucking clowns in his motherfucking suit.
There's a motherfucking clown.
You're wrong.
And there's a motherfucking suit.
You're wrong.
I'm tired
You're wrong.
Of this motherfucking it. in this motherfucking town.
My name is Morgan Freeman, and there's a creature living in my town named Derry.
I wish I could tell you that everything happened happily after this.
Happily I wish I could. I wish I could, but what you need to do is get that motherfucker over there to stop this creature over here.
Oh my god!
Now I gotta see the movie just so I can see, just so I can picture.
Just so you can picture that
Morgan Freeman doing the narration.
Yep. Just the best sell we could do for this movie.
Morgan Freeman doing the narration. That's it. Why is he laughing all the time?
My name is Mike Hanlon.
Sorry, you were saying. Go ahead.
My name is Mike Hanlon. But they used to call me Batman.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Bring a bullshit.
You scared of the creature? Jump! Jump!
Go on ahead, jump!
Go on ahead.
There's something wrong with us.
So, we got like 15 minutes left. Maybe we should do a hard left and do something that we should have done a while ago. We should probably talk about The Defenders.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
So, real quick. The Defenders actually, last I heard, didn't get a lot of eyes.
No.
Didn't get a lot of eyes. And I'm gonna blame Iron Fist for that.
I'm agreeing with you on that one.
Yeah.
I'm agreeing with you.
And I think what they do with the hand.
Yes.
I think the hand could have been a lot more.
Mm-hmm. Like that felt really
contrived, floppy.
Yeah. Literally floppy, yes. Yeah. Yes.
There's no sinisterness to him. There's no, like, it doesn't really, they felt like a cartoon.
Also, like I was confused because I was like, okay, there's the hand, and then Sigourney Weaver was like, well, I am the hand. And I was like, okay, so you're everyone together, or are you one of the fingers? And
right.
It was confusing because I thought she was the amalgamation of all of them. And in that case, I was like, I want to see what you can do because obviously you must be kick-ass.
Exactly.
And there was even a part that, you know, the Asian dude was like, you know, he showed up to her while she was eating, and she was like, you know, oh, you came up to me by yourself. Oh, you're that brave.
Right.
So I was like, okay, so you must be really crazy. I want to see what you can do. And we never got that chance. Mm-hmm. And I was really angry about that fact. Mm-hmm. That kind of added to the whole wimpy-washiness of the hand.
So
I don't know.
Forced.
I just didn't feel like a good villain.
I really think, you know, the only character out of that series that got two seasons was Daredevil.
Right.
I think we needed a couple of more seasons of these other characters
before we got to the Defenders,
mm-hmm. instead of just kind of throwing them to the wayside. I mean, unfortunately, you made a mistake with Iron Fist that you can't correct. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the best thing you could have done if you were going to do a second season, which I do not think they're doing. I think they're canceling Iron Fist. Yeah, because he was not well received.
Right.
You had to do a cast change.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, going into that, because, I mean, we had a lecturer in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you introduced the Punisher. You had all these other really great characters.
Yeah.
Especially out of the Luke Cage series.
Right.
So, and we just only got one season, but we got two out of Daredevil, and then, boom, we're at the Defenders.
Right.
You know.
No, it's a good point.
To some degree, the Defenders feels like Luke Cage season two.
Mm.
A little bit, yeah.
Because it's very, he's very prominent.
Prominent in all the episodes.
In the episodes.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily saying that as it was a bad thing.
But again, he felt like he standed out more than even Daredevil.
He stood out more. Mm-hmm. He stood out more. And the fact of it is, because Iron Fist had such a weak showing in the first season, you know, there was nothing to latch on to.
Mm-hmm.
From his end of it.
Right, right.
Even though, I mean, as far, well, it's messed up because the whole hand thing is basically his and Daredevil's problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More so than the other characters. The other characters kind of get drawn into it.
Right.
But because so much of it, the way they weave the story is basically it was Luke's personal life that facilitated his
actions.
Right.
It's really,
and kept him in it, and in which case even gave them a chance.
Mm.
So, I mean, those were my takeaways from it, that, you know, the whole thing was hurt by the Iron Fist fiasco.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the fact that they then as a response to it than they leaned on him, on Luke Cage so much that it that's what it really kind of felt like. Mm-hmm. It's like Luke Cage and Friends.
You know, because like his story, because when they started like in the first couple episodes, the individual stories,
right?
His was the one that really stood out most because it was about a mother who's losing all her children. Why is Jessica getting involved? Because, and to be honest, I can't remember. Why is Daredevil getting involved?
Right.
Because of Jessica Jones.
Well, he that's the thing. He kind of becomes the center of it because he and Jessica had a thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Rosario Dawson's character brings Iron Fist in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they... And then, of course, because she had a previous relationship with Daredevil. So it's, in a way, it's everybody's, like, connected because somebody slept with somebody.
Yeah, it's really just Claire.
Yeah.
Well, you were just saying that.
It's really just Claire.
It's really just
and
Claire.
And not for nothing, I had my issues. We talked about this at least once or twice, how I had issue with that character being, like, a superhero groupie.
Yeah.
Oh, Claire?
She basically is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's now become a functional superhero group.
Right.
But, you know, at first this was like, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Nightmare. So, see.
Oh, you can
I think it's Quincy's first.
Yeah.
Something like that.
That's what that's Night Nurse. That's,
Night Nurse.
That's what
Gregory Isaac, I believe.
That's her character, I think.
So. Night Nurse, yeah.
That's right. but I had problems with that from the jump. It's like, wait a minute, okay, so you did the do with
Daredevil,
and now you're with Luke Cage, and now, and it's just like, it's too much.
It's an irresistible motherfucker.
I mean, I get
it. You got nice teeth.
Well,
He got nice shoulders.
I like his shoulders.
I like his shoulders.
He doesn't have his shoulders.
But yes.
I like the way he spells shit. Anyway, the thing is, it's like the way it all kind of comes together. And I love Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that felt like, to me it felt a little phoned in.
It felt
a little phoned in.
Yes, absolutely.
She was in New York for a week, and it was like, "Luke, would you like to be in a TV show?" Okay,
I can use some chump change. Why not?
Right. Yeah. Doing what? Right. I'm playing who? Okay. Am I fighting aliens? No. Okay. All right.
But I'll give her that. You know, she does some fun projects nowadays, I love the fact that she's just like, whatever. I'm Sigourney Weaver. I will be in whatever the hell I want to be, and you're not gonna think any less of me. Whatever.
Yep.
Right.
You good figure she could have went over. She could have given some more. Right.
Yeah.
She could have given some more.
She could have.
Because she's not gonna be around.
Wow.
No, I meant in the series, in Defenders. She's not gonna be around.
You
broke my heart a little bit just now.
You won't be around next year.
Bust some fly in your ear.
Sigourney, are you sitting down? We have some bad news.
I bet in the show she could have gave us some more to play with, I guess.
Yes.
Some more.
That's my whole thing. Like they needed to beef up her character. Like they presented her as this, like, ass character, and we never got to see.
Like, she could have done, like, the five fingers on a whole bunch of people.
Right?
Just to do it. Yeah.
Just to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some real...
I want to see some hardcore villain shit.
Magic mysticism villain
shit. Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Because we certainly got to see that in Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin.
Right. Yes. Right. Exactly.
Certainly got to see that.
And fuck Mahershala Ali.
Right.
As Cottonmouth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, let's not forget, Mr. Tennant. As the Purple Man.
Oh, yeah.
That shit is fucking ridiculously awesome.
Yeah.
She'll be back in part two.
And she's thus far, she is the weakest of the villains.
Yeah, really, she is. And she was supposed to be the head of the friggin' organization.
Yeah.
Meh.
Gal, Madam Gal had actually more charisma than she does.
And Madame Gao was busting motherfuckers up.
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad that we got to see that. That was like some Yoda shit right there.
That's like, yes, I was thinking the same thing. Finally, we get to see her fight.
Yeah, I wanted to see Madame Gao, so I was happy about that. Yeah.
Madame Gao with the get down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She gave birth to dragons.
I mean, there's a question about whether or not we'll see her going forward, but I'm pretty sure we will.
I hope so.
I'm pretty sure.
She actually, you know, she made it palpable.
Yeah.
Madame Gao, ladies and gentlemen.
Madam Gao.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Secret hero of the series.
Yes. You should have telephoned her over to Inhumans then, right?
Made right.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't as bad as they said.
I can't find it.
Oh, check it on Hulu.
Hulu?
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
Okay.
I want to see it.
Inhumans, I'm actually not up on that just yet.
You're not missing much.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I heard. The Gifted is actually getting ready to start up sooner. Maybe the first episode is aired.
Yeah, that's connected to X-Men, right?
Yes.
I wasn't exactly sure how, though.
I think it's supposed to be set in the future. I don't think a lot of the X-Men are actually supposed to be around.
Okay.
I know Polaris is one of the characters. Oh.
Okay, cool.
I don't know Polaris.
A daughter of Magneto.
Yeah. Oh, so, this is no way connected to Legion, right?
I don't think
that's
so.
That's a good question.
Because Legion is another X-Men kind of spinoff, and that's dealing with the son of Xavier, even though they don't bring it up.
No, I don't
say it. They don't say it.
They don't say it, but it's the son of Xavier.
Which is really kind of like
X-Force, right?
Yeah.
The X-Force?
Yeah, he ends up in X-Force at some point, yeah.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
Yeah.
No, just that's getting ready to start up. It's actually
Legion.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up to see whether or not they're connected, because that'd be kind of interesting.
So that'll definitely be something we should... Because actually, the trailer actually looks...
It looks
actually
really good.
Looks good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think along with that, there's a couple of things that Fox has their fingers in. Oh, and Gotham, of course. We completely forgot to get into that.
Yes, Gotham.
That started up again. It's only, three episodes in?
Yeah.
Yes,
there's a Batman in Gotham.
He's not Batman yet, but he is now a vigilante.
What is he? Fly Rat? What is he?
Well, before he was just Bruce Wayne, just causing shit.
Oh, okay.
And now he's just the vigilante. Now he has a mask, but he hasn't given himself a name.
Yes,
he hasn't. This is like the
he doesn't have a name yet, but he's starting to cause some shit. Mm-hmm. So it's nice. Right. Yeah. It's nice.
He got older, a little taller.
He got a little taller. Puberty's hitting him good, him and Selena Kyle. Yeah.
That was probably the best line in the second episode. The two of them are literally on the ledge of a very tall building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he walks up to them and he's just like, why can't you two just go to the movies like normal teenagers?
Who says that to him?
Alfred. And it's like, I feel like if it was R-rated, he would have just been like, for fuck's sake.
Whatever, he's the one training Master Bruce in fighting and whatnot, so he caused the shit.
That's on him.
It's Alfred's own fault.
I got a question for you guys.
Mm.
For as horror writers and lovers of the horror, what's a good horror series to watch now? I've heard American Horror Story is not the new one.
They lost me. American Horror Story lost me this season.
All right. Anything else then left as a report?
That's actually scary?
Yeah, that's worth watching. Oh, it's either scary or entertaining or something.
Well, it's not Jeepers Creepers 3.
Do we talk about Jeepers Creepers?
We didn't get around to it.
We'll get around to it.
I think we consciously chose not to.
Well, Mark was the only one who mistakenly decided that he was going to go to the movies. And am I saying something?
No.
No, okay.
Do we have a few minutes?
It was a mistake.
It sucked!
We have 2 minutes, right.
Do you want to give us your thoughts, Mark?
October 28th, Sci-Fi Channel, Jeepers Creepers 3 will be airing. It showed for one night only thanks to Fathom Events in the theater. So within 2 weeks, it'll be on TV. It should tell you exactly how well that movie did. In the term of sit on the couch and wait, and it'll eventually come on TV, or you don't have to wait that long. So I'll wait till after October 28th. And then once we have what you call it finally out, then I can.
You can make us all watch it?
Y'all can all watch it because at least if I watch it again, I can at least turn around and watch Stranger Things and wash that garbage out of my mouth.
Okay, yeah.
So I'm going to leave it at that.
You're going to do a saw on us and make us sit in a chair.
Jesus Christ.
So basically, folks, if you were a fan of either Jeepers Creepers or Jeepers Creepers 2, there is a Jeepers Creepers 3, which I had no idea was even happening until Mark mentioned it, and it mentioned that he was going. He's just disappointed.
Disgusting. There's no disappointment.
Anyway, we've got 30 seconds left, so I think we're just going to
rally on
out of here.
Bullshit.
It's, Mark's not happy anymore. I think that's officially our cue to exit.
Night, everybody.
For Taryn, Kirk, Mark, and myself.
Bullshit.
We bid you a fond farewell.
Peace.